Good morning. It's Hard Knocks Tuesday. There's Ray Diaz. There's Adam Studzinski. Brandon Fryer. Connor O'Donnell. Kevin Lapka. Thanks to Lapka for his help in putting together the bingo card.
Yeah, our bingo card is set, and we will put it out there for consumption at 11:25 today. We will go through it. We will let you know what we ended up choosing as a team.
And everybody's excited. That
my picture's on there. I was very happy about that.
It's better than it being the picture of bankruptcy.
Well, perhaps still.
Right.
There's still a lot of time left in the day.
You never know.
It's a different picture, though, so that's good.
The way things are going now, the way things, fast-moving things all around our world.
It might be the picture of change before we know it.
That's right.
Who knows?
That's right. We don't know. But this feels like a game day.
Yeah, it feels like the beginning of something where, like I've been saying, all of this, you take these little baby steps towards the season starting. And so those baby steps are now where, okay, the Hall of Fame game happened. The Bears Hall of Famers have been enshrined. And we're going to talk with Jared Payton about that at 1 o'clock today. I can't wait to hear his stories. I talked with Rashid Davis yesterday on Football Night in Chicago. He said it was magnificent. And then he got really emotional, and he said that he brought his family because of how important all of this stuff was to him. He also said something that I thought was interesting about Devin as a returner, because, you know, Rashid was a really good returner too. And he said Devin, since his awareness of what was behind him, may have cost him more touchdowns. And then he elaborated, and he goes, basically, because Devin was able to function where he's like, oh, this guy is catching up, that he would sometimes make cuts to keep the guy from getting him from behind when he could have just run straight at the kicker.
Well, he would also, he's one of the first guys that began using the Jumbotron as the rearview mirror.
It's really interesting. And I sat there for a couple minutes after the interview, and I was like, that actually makes a lot of sense. And now I got to go back and look at some of the returns. Anyway, it feels like something, it feels like dawn. Like Bears dawn is tonight at 8 o'clock.
It's more than that. I think we have tried to have fun with the Hard Knocks thing because it's fun. And we know that reality TV isn't real. It comes close to being real. But it's not. So we know that anytime there is an awareness of a camera or a microphone, it changes the way people behave. Period, paragraph.
Correct.
However, the one thing the Hard Knocks crew is really good at, and this has been alluded to, and you start to hear these things, there is, when produced properly, there ends up being a Stockholm syndrome in a good way. Where
meaning?
You learn... The people who are operating the cameras, the people who are the sound guy operating the boom mic, the gaffers who move into making sure that you're not tripping over cords, they ingratiate themselves. They're people. And there's all kinds of conversations that go on. They're ubiquitous. And when you've heard players and coaches, NFL players and coaches, talk about the Hard Knocks experience after the fact, and a lot of it comes out when you see the outtakes at the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
When some of that feels a little real, and you see the awareness sometimes. But you start, just like your brain adapts. And you know how when you go to a movie and you're like, oh, I don't like sitting all the way on this side and I'm too close. By the time the previews are over, your brain has fixed it.
Previews too long.
Still, but in general. We have a way, it's a natural way, it's a cognitive development, it's an adaptation, and you start just, you forget. It happens with chronic pain. Sometimes people just my body learned to live with it, and we moved along.
Yeah, trust me, I know that.
It's real.
It's very, I'll give you an example just from me dealing with Crohn's, where... I remember I was going through a really rough patch with Crohn's, and I was walking hunched over, and they did height and weight after they had changed up the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I had...
Shrunk?
No, I had gotten taller because I had just been walking, like carrying all of this like fluid and water and stuff. And once that dissipated, I was standing up straight when they measured me.
Wow. But you didn't realize it, is the point.
Had no idea.
You had no idea because there was an adaptation that was going on. And if and for these teams that have cameras, in the first couple days, it's, oh my God, look at all this. And then after a while, they don't see it anymore.
They know how to navigate it because they're like, oh, okay, I can just go back to.
And as you get inured to it, you start to get more natural reactions. Documentarians tell you that all the time, that they're, sometimes their best stuff comes at the end. When they're when they almost like they're part of the team, and it's like, oh, hey, Steve, how are you?
I wonder if
it's just someone you see when you get to work.
Ray, when are we having, we're having the director on, right?
We're having one of the producers, Pat Harris, on Thursday.
I wonder if how the t-shirts like have evolved over time, where you're making these t-shirts kind of in team colors, where you're setting yourself apart as a member of the production crew, but you also kind of blend in. And I wonder how that's evolved for Hard Knocks, where instead of them kind of standing out at the beginning of Hard Knocks, where you see like the HBO shirts, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like now it's like, well, let's do a better job of camouflaging
blend in
ourselves in this. That's a, that, remind me to ask that question.
Yeah, that'll be NFL Films producer Pat Harris, who worked on Hard Knocks 125 on Thursday.
So what happens is that players and coaches start to relax a little bit with every day that goes by, with every practice. Oh, that's just, I always see her with that microphone. I always see her with that camera. Okay, it's just someone who's there.
Yep.
And I am really looking forward to learning things about the Bears,
okay,
in a way that we haven't before.
Like what? Like, you give it to me. Like, what's the thing that you're trying to learn from Hard Knocks? Instead of just like the fun that we're having with the bingo card, like, what do you want to take out of what you see tonight and beyond?
I want to see Matt Eberflus, the executive head coach, even with his defensive coordinator responsibilities and his in-game play calls and what happened last year to get him in his comfort zone. I am hoping that that Flus 2.0 keeps up the positive vibes. I'm hoping that I want to hear how he interacts with his assistants in those meetings. That I'm interested in some of the closed door stuff, the coaches around the table, how they talk to each other, how he solicits other opinions, who talks when.
Well, apparently one of them is going to be his old linebackers coach.
Okay.
He's going to be Nick Saban.
That'd be great. Fine. I want to hear, because we hear him at the lectern. We've heard him talk to the team in some of these cringy post games and some of the cringy pep talks and some of the cringy press conferences. But when they're talking ball, what does it really sound like? What does he sound like as a head coach? How does he delegate responsibility? No, I don't just mean the fun stuff. I don't just mean the nicknames. Okay, man.
What I'd like to see, and if this isn't possible because Caleb is this far advanced in his knowledge of football, but I'd like to see some of the aha moments with him of, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you want me to do what? Okay, I got it. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the, especially since the cadence thing was such an issue, or I guess technically still is, because we don't know if it's going where he is on the spectrum when it comes to the spectrum that we've put together as a show. Complete disaster to Aaron Rodgers, use it as a weapon. And we think he's probably around a 4 right now, like, okay, kind of close to midway on that. Let's see that. I wouldn't mind seeing, I hope that the Bears are comfortable enough with him if there is failure, in showing some of the failure and then showing it in a way that allows all of us that aren't up there every day to understand and see growth. We're going, oh, okay, there was a false start on this because of this. Well, look what happened in the next practice or the next session how they were able to get stuff like that together. That's kind of what I'm looking at to see if once we get into like the football stuff, are we going to see things that aren't magical? Like, I'd like to see a little bit of the mundane. I've seen the shot of Caleb in slow motion running towards the sidelines and then throwing back across his body.
All right, we're going to get and we'll
show,
get the,
show me the version of that where it's picked.
And we'll also get the fringe guy stories and the human Colin Johnson stories
for sure.
Going to be on there. They're going to pick up a few people and they'll follow them around. There's going to be character arcs and all that. But what's going to happen with the ones who matter? How much are we going to see
DJ Moore,
the stars? How much are we going to see?
I feel like we're going to see the Bears defensive backfield all up in this episode.
We'll hear them.
As we should.
I know we'll hear a lot of them.
As we should. Because Jalen Johnson lends himself to being camera ready. Like he's got a vibe, you know? And the rest of those guys kind of feed off of that. Where I think Kyler Gordon is probably more quiet, but because of his freakish athletic nature, like, I imagine we'll see some of that play out. And what does that do for Tyreek Stevenson? Like, are we watching a group as a group, these guys kind of grow into something fun? I'd like to see that.
And we will all continue to speculate on what's a Bears edit. We know that they do have the
Man, I do think we've been spoiled with Hard Knocks Giants. I think we've been spoiled. So I'm kind of like getting myself ready for it to not be as interesting from a football standpoint.
However, I think the new comms brain trust here also knows the value of a little bit of transparency, that it's not going to be a 100% propaganda vehicle.
And we've also, to your point, we've learned that Ryan Poles is also very transparent.
But we kind of knew that, though. Like, that's the thing that we've learned over the last couple years is that he doesn't really lie. He struggles with lying.
I agree. And I wonder, though, as to your point, we did know that, but I wonder if more things with a camera in front of his face and more ability to be transparent, if he's going to take it as an opportunity to really let us in.
It's going to be fascinating.
I can't wait.
It's good. And I think you're right. It does feel a little bit like game day. But speaking of game day, I'd like to know who might be healthy for the Bears' next actual game day.
Bears. Well, actual pretend game day.
Still, 45 to 65 snaps is what they want Caleb Williams to get in the next three games.
Okay.
And your offensive line is struggling to stay healthy. They had a walkthrough today. It seems like everyone's cool with the walkthrough. But why don't we talk with Chris Emma from the practice field and get some thoughts on how they're going to approach this week? What are you smiling at?
I just saw a tweet that just made me smile.
Why don't you tell us what the tweet is?
It just says Tim Walz is younger than Brad Pitt.
I mean, that makes sense. He doesn't look it. He's got football coach face.
That's what he's got.
Yeah.
He total coach face.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Because he's a football coach.
Because he's a football coach.
Defensive coordinator.
You're damn right he is.
Rod Marinelli should have been the Veep. Can you imagine?
Parkins. That's why the Hard Knocks cameras
that's right.
are here.
They're going to name Parkins tonight.
He's going to be the VP.
Vice president. Got a ticket. Campaigning.